So a few weeks ago, I went to the National Convention of Unitarian Universalists. A few of you were there as well. It was preceded, as usual, by 2 days of programming for ministers. This year's keynote speaker at the ministers' conference was the Reverend Lillian Daniel, a minister in the United Church of Christ in suburban Chicago. Her message, entitled, When Spiritual But Not Religious Isn't Enough, was a defense of church and community and tradition against the self-centered, consumeristic culture that we live in. It was also a critique of the way that church has been done, the way that we have cooperated with instead of stood against this self-centered culture. A few things struck me in her remarks, and one hit home in particular. She said that for the last 50 years, the evangelism strategy of mainline Protestant religion has been to think, if we expect nothing of people, then they will come to church. If we expect nothing of them, they will come. Think about that a little bit. Oh, we understand you're busy. Come to church when you can. It's no big deal. Give whatever you like. That tithing business is so old-fashioned. And we'll make sure that all the music is familiar, and we won't ask you to do anything different in your life than you would do anyway. These words struck home with me because this is often our strategy, too, to ask very little of anyone who comes. I mean, here we don't even ask you to recite any words that you don't believe in. We don't ask you to believe anything that violates your conscience or even that you find generally implausible. Now, this approach made some sense marketing-wise when the expectation was that everyone would go to church. Some folks said to themselves, well, if I have to go to church, I'll go to the one that's the easiest, least demanding on my life. But those days are gone. There is no social pressure to attend church anymore, none at all. Instead of choosing the church that makes only a few demands, you can sleep in and have no demands made on you whatsoever. Here's the thing, though. Even though it was a good marketing strategy, it was lousy theology. This is true for Christian churches, of course. The invitation, stop what you are doing and follow me, this invitation from Jesus is not low expectation. It is not easy. Jesus did not say, come along if you want to, whatever. Love your neighbor so long as he or she is not a pain in the rear or in any way difficult, and then forget it. Give away all that you own except the stuff you really like. You can keep that. Not a one of those phrases is in Scripture. Not a one. Now, maybe you're thinking right now, oh, I'm glad I'm a Unitarian Universalist because that Christian stuff sounds hard. Well, I've got news for you. If we're to be serious and honest and real, this path of ours, this Unitarian Universalist path, is hard too. We've sold ourselves sometimes as the easier way, the way of freedom and modernity. No ancient creeds, no outdated moral codes, no vengeful God, and no hell either. We talk about the liberal tithe. Give 5% to the church, the other 5% to other causes and charities. Frankly, I'd be thrilled if we got 3% on average from every member of the church. Nationally, among Unitarian Universalists, it's 1.5. 5% would be a windfall, the ministry we could do. We've made it seem easy to be a Unitarian Universalist, and if I've given you that impression, then I apologize, because that is not accurate. If you want to be a faithful, dedicated Unitarian Universalist, it is not easy. It is not low expectations. It is high expectations. It is great expectations. Our mission here is to inspire people to transform our world, to transform it from inhumanity to love. And the only way that happens is if you transform yourselves. If you give yourself to the work of love, If you live with spiritual purpose and integrity and courage, with the spirit of forgiveness and daring and compassion. If you want to get a lot out of this faith, if you want your spirit to be healed of its pain, to be inspired and connected and joyful in your life, then the easy path, the low expectation path, is not going to work. If you're taking a nap on the floor of the aerobic studio, you're not going to get in shape. It's not how it works. It's not going to happen. And if I've given you the impression that you will change your life without doing anything, then I've given you the wrong impression. The path of Unitarian Universalism is a difficult, demanding path. It asks much of you, demands much, and offers much in return. We demand that you live an integrated life, a consistent life, a life according to your conscience. This faith isn't about what you believe. It is about how you live. So you must subject all your daily life, the work you do, how you eat, how you shop, how you parent and vote and speak and treat each other and every person you meet. You must subject your whole life to be examined by your conscience and by the wisdom of this tradition. And you must constantly try harder than you did the day before to live your best possible life. We expect ourselves to practice what we preach, and more than anything else, we preach universal love, that all people have inherent worth and dignity, as our first principle puts it. Do you know how hard that is? All people, even the bleepity bleep who cut in line and was rude to my kid, or cost me my job, or broke my heart, even her, even him? Yes, everyone. Doesn't mean that you let people get away with mistreating you or anyone else. Doesn't mean anything goes. But it does mean that you treat everyone with dignity. Everyone. Even, and I think this is often the hardest, even ourselves. We expect you to keep learning and growing. You're not permitted to stay put on your theological journey. You are not allowed to say, "I don't care what the science says, I'm going with my gut." That is not permitted here. Muhammad Ali said, "A man who views the world the same at 50 as he did at 20 has wasted 30 years of his life." And we agree. You should hold yourself open to new insights and ideas. We expect it. We expect that in response to the fundamental reality of existence, which is to say, in response to the wonder of life, the beauty of it, to its fragility and sometimes tragedy, in response to the tears of awe and joy and heartache and mystery, that in response we shall live lives of gratitude, thanksgiving for the gifts of life, fragile as they are. And at the exact same moment, with compassion and a fierce sense of justice, to love those who suffer and to lessen such suffering, especially when we ourselves, by our actions or by our inaction, are partly responsible. Conscience, love, reason, gratitude, justice. This is how we expect ourselves to live. It's what I expect of myself, and it's what I expect of you. It is, of course, a never-ending journey. We are never all the way there, and we keep working at it all through our lives. And it is a rewarding path, a path of dignity and power. Every time I stretch myself to be more faithful to these commitments, I feel better about myself, more connected to God, to all that is, to other people, and to the earth, our home. I know from hearing your stories that you feel the same. When you reach to be your best self, to be the best possible Unitarian Universalist you can be, the best human being that you can be, your life has more joy and happiness and meaning. That's what you've told me time and time again. That's what I've seen in your deeds and in your faces. So if you are new with us, I want you to know that we expect a lot from you. It'll be worth it, I promise. It won't be easy, but it will be worth it. Cinder Ella's life was easier than Cinder Edna's. Ella, well, everyone takes care of her, her fairy godmother, the prince. Edna takes care of herself, puts the dress on way away, takes the cottage, not the castle. And who, in the end, has more meaning and joy? Edna, of course. Don Owsley's list of 35 expectations is obviously tongue-in-cheek. It's the kind of sarcasm we ministers sometimes turn to, for often we feel that there are so many unreasonable and unspiritual expectations on us, the minister, well, God forbid we place any expectations on you, the laity of the congregation. I thought it was funny, and I hope you did not take offense, at least not too much. The larger point is his reflection is an important theological claim. Namely, that the church does not exist for the personal needs of its people. That's not why it's there. In Don's tradition, it exists to make manifest the kingdom of God. For us, we might say that, or more inclusively, we might say that the church exists to transform the world toward love. So Don is asking, what can we expect of each other in light of what God expects from his understanding? And while the petty expectations fall away when you put it this way, the expectations of God are much harder. It's easier to expect your minister or yourself to be appropriately dressed and always polite. That's actually a kind of low bar. It's harder for you to expect me, for me to expect you, for you to expect yourself to be always striving to live honestly, courageously, with the spirit of transforming love firmly fixed in our hearts and minds. That's harder. It's a lot harder. So important. In our changing world, we have to realize that it doesn't matter what century our songs come from, or the building we worship in, or how well we do this or that program. What matters is that we push ourselves and each other to live our mission, to build by our own lives the beautiful and just world we long for. Now, does this mean that if you don't meet the expectations of Unitarian Universalism as I've laid them out, that you are not welcome here? No, it does not mean that. Whoever you are, wherever you are welcome. Come and be with us. See the difference this faith can make in the lives of those around you and take your first step. It's a long journey. Some churches require you to prove your faith, your conversion, before you join. We don't do that. Lillian Daniel used the expression in her keynote address that among us liberals, joining the church is matriculation, not graduation. I thought that was brilliant. Matriculation, not graduation. It is the beginning of your journey. It's an invitation to start following the expectations. We won't turn you away. Come as you are. We welcome you. But if you stay where you are, then you've missed the point of this living tradition. If you make no commitment, then no commitment will set your mind and heart ablaze. My thinking about this subject has led me to a few conclusions. First, for myself, that I must follow too. I must live according to my conscience, even if the consequences are not pleasant, even if they disappoint you or others. I must take my spiritual work seriously and be deeply generous with my gifts of life and love everyone and keep learning. I can't ask you to do that if I don't do that. I'm not always going to succeed, but I got to try. Second, I revised the handout. I know, it sounds very exciting. I revised the handout in our Path to Membership class. It's a handout I've been using for years, entitled Membership Expectations. And if you've joined in the last 5 years, then you've read it. I made each expectation a little stronger, turned up the dial. I used to say, as our fourth expectation, that we expect you to make a contribution of your financial resources, period, end of sentence. But now I say, we expect at least 5%. If you can't do that now, plan on how you will. I used to say, our third expectation, do something for the church at least once a year. Serve on a team, be a greeter, help with an event. Once a year is not often enough. Changed it to once a month. Some of you do it every week. Bless you. I used to say, do something for your spiritual journey. That's too vague. It's too easy. I changed it to join a spiritual small group in the church or see me to discuss your spiritual practice. We'll have signups for new small groups next month. Well, as many groups as there are people who sign up. So sign up. That was number two. And the first expectation is I used to say, attend church on a regular basis. A regular basis. I even wrote out there, you don't have to come every Sunday, just come often. But that's crazy. I changed it. Go every week. Come every week. Make it your weekly renewing habit. And I know there are some of you here in this room who have come every week for 90 years. If you're sick, okay, that's fine. Stay home. Otherwise, be in church. And if you're traveling, then go to the Unitarian Church near you. And if there's no Unitarian Church near you, or if you go on their website and you see that they're having their informal summer potluck and you won't know anyone, that's okay. Go to another church. It won't infect you, I promise. Visit our religious cousins and our regular coalition partners. Go to the United Church of Christ nearby or the Episcopalians. It's good for your soul to worship every week. It will keep before you the resolve to live with purpose and love. I can't tell you what to do, what I won't do myself. And I go to church every week, except when I'm in northern Wisconsin and it's been sort of inconvenient. But I said, no, I'm going to resolve myself. So I found myself in a very small Episcopalian church last Sunday in northern Wisconsin. They were friendly and sincere. Three of us in the room of 40 people were under 50 years of age. Me included. But for the 40 people who were there, they sang beautifully. And they said their prayers with conviction. And guess what the topic was? What is expected of disciples of Christ? What is expected of Christians? I kid you not. I had already planned this sermon, written the blurb, and sent Jamie the topic, and here the priest was speaking on the same topic. The Spirit moves in mysterious ways. The gospel text was the second half of Luke 9, where Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem, shakes off those who would distract him or delay him, and becomes committed to his mission. Now, the preacher had a beautiful voice. He was a retired bishop doing an interim ministry, a stained glass voice, we call it in our profession. He seemed friendly enough, but where he went with this text, to tell you the truth, it left me cold. He said to those 40 faithful, "You're following the instructions. Good job, because you are here in church." Instead of being out on that beautiful day, a day just as beautiful as today, they were in church performing the ritual, saying the words. He congratulated them on their dedication to the church. It was, I imagine, an easy message to hear. They were already doing what they were supposed to be doing. But for me, it was not nearly enough. The point of religion is not to come to church. The point of coming to church is to get religion, to be strengthened and comforted by this noble faith so that you can change your life and change the world for the better. I was glad that I went and worshiped with them, to be with the people, to hear again that powerful story, to sing together. It was good. I knew the tunes, if not the words. And I got insight for this sermon, so that was a bonus. But I don't go to church every week, wherever I am, so that I can cross it off the list of things to do. I don't go to feel good about myself, though I usually do. I go because I am thereby reminded that there is more to life than my particular current situation wants or needs. I go to be reminded that great things are expected of me, as they are of each person. I go so that I might recall the central virtues and essential tasks of the religious life: integrity, love, growth, gratitude, generosity, compassion, justice. I go every week to church for the same reason that I pray every day and serve the wider Unitarian Universalist Association and give of my income, 3% now, 5% I pledge to myself, to this church. I do all these things not because they are good in and of themselves, but because they are reminders, talismans, markers, which keep before my heart and mind the larger calling, the calling to love and justice and reason and hope and thanksgiving and courage and goodness, the calling to live this faith each and every day, and through faithful, high expectation living, transform both myself and our world. So this is the point in the sermon where I usually say, I invite you to do the same. But scratch that out. I expect you to do the same. To raise your standards for yourself. In your own personal life, in your work in the world, in your participation here. There are no results without effort. There is no return without an investment. There is no transformation without commitment. There is no light without fire. Let each and every one of us live so well, so courageously, so generously, that when we come to the end of our days, others may say of us, they lived so faithfully, and the whole world was the better for it. Amen. Let's sing.